You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Joe Bricker. Alongside me, it's Matt Gannon. Matt, welcome back to the show. We are in the dead of the offseason right now, just counting down the days until Lightning hockey, and it'll be here before you know it. But man, Matt, it can't come soon enough. Before we get into the action-packed episode that we got for you guys today, Matt, first and foremost, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm well. I'm hot. Yeah, dog days of the summer. I really wish I was a baseball fan because summers are really hard to get through. I guess, you know, I'm grateful that I'm busiest in the summer with my personal life, but even still, it is hard to get through till football to hold me over until hockey. So, man, I really should start watching some Rays games or something, man, because no sports for me is bad.
Have you been over to Steinbrenner Field at all to watch a game? I got to say, I was there once or twice, and it's a lot of fun. I love having the Rays in Tampa. I absolutely love it. And it's a good time taking over one of those games.
I'd like to try. You know, nobody, you know, hates baseball. Like, you know, going to a game in person, it's a good time. You know, me, a very, very, very casual fan. I heard the vibes there are actually pretty good. So I really might check it out. But
they are fantastic.
At the same time, man, anytime I can find some peace in the AC, I'll do that. I'm paid to be outside, so my free time, I stay inside.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, and that's the one thing about the Rays having a chance. Since they don't have a proper stadium, they don't have a roof, any of that. There's a reason that the Rays played inside of a dome for so long, right? Because the weather in Florida, this time of year specifically, can get a little bit less boring than we're used to it, but definitely go recommend checking it out. And you can check out our podcast on the Rays we have over here at RBLR Sports. Those guys do a fantastic job over there. Trade deadline coming up, so be sure to go over there and give them a listen. Highly recommend doing that. But, Matt, let's talk about some Lightning hockey because that's what we're here to do. And while there isn't much going on, there are a couple of things that we do need to talk about. And we got a request last week. I apologize. I can't remember who it was, but somebody asked us to talk about the emergency backup goaltending situation because it is changing for the NHL next year. So we'll hit on that a little bit. Then we'll look into some of JV's comments. He had a little press conference recently talking about the state of the team, who he thinks could make an impact on the Lightning next year, coming out of training camp, and have a little bit of fun with that. And also, I do want to get back to some of the Lightning social media stuff. We didn't get to it last episode because we went off the rails, Matt, talking about the outdoor game. So try not to do that again. But with that said, let's jump into the emergency backup goaltender situation. So if you don't know, the new CBA is kicking in next year, which is good news because that means we're not going to have a lockout. They've already got it set up. Round of applause. Nice job. I know we always boo Gary Bettman, but, you know, at least this time he got it right. So that was good. But the big thing changing in one of the big things changing is how emergency backup goaltenders are going to work. So before, Matt, it was basically – you can really just take any random person off the streets for the most part. Now, teams had a person at each arena, and they could play for either side. That's how you got one of the fantastic stories when you had the Zamboni driver playing for the Carolina Hurricanes to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in one of the best goaltender stories out there of all time. And now it's changing a little bit with the way it's going to work is every team is going to be employing a specific emergency backup goaltender. So this is a job that you can go get. Every team's going to have one. I believe if I'm understanding this correctly, and there's not a ton of information out there though, they're going to travel with the teams. And there's a couple of rules on what guys you can have. For example, they cannot have played an NHL game. They cannot have played in more than 80 professional hockey games. To be honest with you, Matt, I don't know what the marking is for a quote-unquote professional game. I'm assuming that means like AHL,
ECHL, you know, other professional European leagues too.
Yes, correct. And then they also cannot have played professional hockey in the prior three seasons. They have to have another current contract, or cannot have another contractual obligation that would force them the ability to serve as the club's emergency goaltender. And they cannot be on the reserve list or restricted free agent of any other NHL club. So there is some limitations there, but these are the new rules, Matt, for the EBUG.
Yeah, I'm sure some of those limitations were still in there. Like, you can't have, you know, Nikolai Hobby-Boulin just sitting in the stands or something, you know, ready to suit up.
as cool
as that would be, you know, I'm sure they did think about this, you know, years ago when the e-bug situation did come up. But so I'm sure some of those rules definitely were still in place. I'm kind of curious why they're, you know, relitigating this right now. Like, I understand there hasn't been another CBA, you know, quite some time. I think what they're like 6 year periods or something. So, but still, it just seems like something that could just be a simple rule change and not just in the CBA. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. That's why I don't take part in any of this. But it's kind of a bummer, in my opinion. Like, going back to the David Ayers, Carolina Hurricanes, and Toronto Maple Leafs game in 2019, it was such a good story. It's such, you know, good publicity for the NHL. You know, it was such a unique scenario. All publicity is good publicity. You know, it was an employee of the Toronto Maple Leafs that ended up getting the win against them because he came in net for the Carolina Hurricanes. And again, it's such a rare situation. Why do we have to fix it? Like, I understand there's a bit of a conflict of interest. If you get, you know, let's say it happens with Toronto and Carolina again, you know, if David Ayers went in there because he's a Toronto fan, obviously he's employed by the team and grew up in the Toronto area, what's stopping him from going, oops, I let the puck in. Oops, I let the puck in. Like, you know, for a free win for the Maple Leafs. Of course, pride and ego, you know, you do want to put on a good performance, of course, but at the same time, it depends how big of a fan you are. Like, what would you do in that situation, Jake? If, like, let's say it was game 82, the Lightning.
You didn't even need to set the scenario. You know what I'm doing.
Oops.
Whoops. My bad, guys. I'll try to get the next one 100%. And I still think you're going to get some. I know what you're talking about. The fun stories, right? They were great stories. I think this is such a rare situation that even when e-bugs do come in and there are a lot of those limitations, I still think you'll get some of that. It's going to be a little bit different because, again, they're going to be employed by the teams. And you know, I don't know how teams are going to handle this, if they're going to get guys who do have, like, actual this. So it's not going to be, oh, he's pulled him. He was at his day job yesterday and now he's with the team. They're kind of be moving with the team, traveling with the team. So I think you'll still get some of those stories like, oh, yeah, this guy was a Uber driver in his off time. Now he got employed by the Lightning. Next thing you know, he's into a game. It's just not – he was working at his day job yesterday because now their day jobs are working with the teams. I'll tell you this. Heck, I might go buy some pads and go start practicing on the local rinks because if I see this job posting, I'd like to apply for it because mm-hmm. that is a fantastic job. Now, I don't think they're getting paid much, but still, I'm all over that.
Well, I know the current e-bugs, like, we had one suit up, you know, and just, you know, play on the – or stay on the bench last year for one game. I'm forgetting his name, but he was on the bench ready to go if Vazzy or Johansson, whoever was in net, got injured, God forbid. Didn't happen, thank the Lord. But they only get, like, I don't know, maybe like $100 or something. And, like, yeah, you do get season tickets. You get 41 home games and, you know, however many playoff games – if that happens. But if you're traveling with the team, like, you do have to give up a good chunk of your life. Like, it's hard on the players being away from their family. I would hope it's more than like a couple $100 if you do have to sign that dotted line. That's what, you know, our goalie did. You get, let's call it $300 or something. I would hope that it's some sort of a semi-livable salary, because you do have, if you are going to be traveling with the team, like, that is giving up a lot instead of just showing up to, you know, Amalie Arena and maybe having your pads there. Like, you are going on the road trip, so I'd hope there's some better compensation than, you know, a high five and a hot dog.
Hey, I'll take a high five and a hot dog from Nikita Kucherov. I'm all over that. But no, I do think that's the situation because, again, they're employed by the team. And I'm assuming that means that you can do other things. So, like, you know, this is more of an actual, like, you know, they can, I don't know, take shots during practice or something like that. They can help sharpen the skate. I don't know what the actual jobs are going to look like. And this is going to be a feeling out process, right, with all these teams and how this is going to work. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of changes. They have a year to figure this all out. So it's going to be a little weird, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean too much. I think you'll still get some fun opportunities. We'll definitely keep an eye on it, on what the Lightning are going to do and what e-bug they end up employing, because I'm sure somebody will find out and we'll know once that information does become available. But yeah, I just want to do it. I think it'd be such a fun job to have, to be an e-bug.
I'd take it.
Now, luckily for the Lightning, they have not run into a lot of those situations. We've been very blessed when it comes to goaltenders, you know, Andre Vasilevsky, Ben Bishop, Nikolai Hobby-Bullen. The Lightning actually have had a really good streak of goaltenders, now that I think about it, for a while. Really since Hobby-Bullen, I would say. Now, before that, gets a little more messy the way the Lightning goaltenders work, but really since Nikolai Hobby-Bullen, they have had a real set number one that's played consistently.
Yeah, we've had a good streak of goalies, you know, Hobby-Bullen, Bishop, now Vazzy, but we still don't have enough really for a Mount Rushmore. Like, who would be the best choice to put at number four for the Lightning on the Mount Rushmore for the goalies we've had? Because it's the three obvious ones and then bunch of guys.
So your three obvious, I'm assuming, are Vasilevsky, Ben Bishop, and Nikolai Hobby-Bullen?
Yeah. Like, who else could you even put on the Mount Rushmore? Mike Smith?
Darren Pupa?
Pupa, okay. Good answer. See, they're really it's a bit of a dry cupboard after those three.
No, definitely. There's absolutely a drop-off, no question. You know, that's a good question, Matt. And I don't know if I can really – I think Mike Smith – probably has the best argument to be the fourth person. Or, I mean, if you want to go
so getting crazy, the Bakov.
What was the name of the girl that played goalie for the Lightning?
Oh, publicity? Manon Raume?
Yes.
That's actually pretty cool, Jake. That's thinking outside the box. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hang on. Mr. Magic takes it. Louis Domingue. Yes. I'm all for it. Louis Domingue. Yeah, I know he was really a backup, but man, I just love that guy. He was so much fun to watch and so
he
much.
He has a franchise record.
He does. That's a great point. I like Louis Domingue. But yeah, there's a couple of but you're absolutely right in the sense of there's not been a fourth true big goaltender. And hopefully that next one after Vasilevsky, we will get. And then we'll have a more solid answer on who that Mount Rushmore could be. Also, Eureka is firing off some things in the back end here. You guys can't see this. He said Dwayne Rollison. Absolutely not. I'm going to deny that one. But we'll see who the next goaltender is for the Lightning.
Peter Budaj.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the other thing with the goaltender. Matt, we are so good at just going off the rails.
I know. It's great.
Episodes. The backup goaltender situation for the Lightning. Like, the Lightning went from having kind of two goaltenders, none of them were ever really that good to take fully on the reins, to having that guy, but can never figure the backup situation. The revolving door of backup goaltenders that we've had over the past, what, 5-6 years now, it's been a lot. They really haven't had solid backup goaltenders. So they kind of flip-flopped there a little bit.
I mean, I thought Brian Elliott was pretty solid, like at least the first year he was with us. Curtis McElhaney kind of had the easiest job in the world. Peter Budaj was.
Point, we have not kept a backup goaltender for more than what, 2 years?
Three max. Like, I think Johansson might be the longest in a while, you know, because what, he's played the last 2 years with us and he signed another 2 years if he lives out the length of this contract.
Exactly. So we just, it's been a revolving door of backup goaltenders that we have. So it's an interesting goaltender situation. Luckily, again, having to worry about it because you got guys like Andre Vasilevsky that just kind of dominate and control what's going on.
It's so true. The I'm sure you've seen it, Jake. The meme. It's like dudes can just sit down and name random, you know, C tier sports players for hours and have a good time. And we're doing that with backup goals.
It's true. It's true. We really.
It's so true.
Speaking of which, by the way, so this was a suggestion for us to talk about this. If you guys have any other things you'd like us to talk about, whether it's in future episodes, even when the season starts, let us know down in the comments. Tag us on social media at RBR Lightning. If you've got your suggestions, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to talk about that stuff that you guys want to hear from the Lightning community. So absolutely let us know. Drop your suggestions down below. All right. Do have a couple other things to talk about here, Matt. Aside from the backup goaltender, more actual Lightning news in the sense of we did have a coach, Matt. You brought this up specifically, so I'll let you say it. But we had one of our equipment managers move on.
Yeah, one of the assistant equipment managers, Jason Berger. The name might not ring a bell, but you know the face definitely does. You know, he had the dark, long, curly hair, always looked kind of wet. He's been with the team for a decade or more, maybe. He took the head equipment manager job for the New York Islanders, which it is sad, but at the same time, you're getting a better job opportunity. Nobody can blame you. We all know that the guys loved him. They treated him well and vice versa. He was good for everyone. So congratulations to him. Sad to see you go, but good on you for a new position, a better position.
Yeah, it's always tough, right, when it comes to assistant coaches in general, is that you can come to love them and eventually they're going to move on if they do good at their job. And mm-hmm. So congratulations to him and moving on. And listen, he was a good coach because I knew exactly what you were talking about, Matt, as soon as you said it. And that's not normal for that type of position. So that's how he made an impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Comment here from Beverly. I don't know. Man, I don't know if you know. She said, whatever happened to Stacey Rowe? Do you know who Beverly is talking about?
She wasn't she up in management? I know she left this year, I'm pretty sure, but I honestly couldn't tell you. I will try and find out, but
I was just gonna say I'm going to do a quick Google search and see if I cannot I do find it funny. I just typed in Stacey and Google auto completed to Stacey.
Oh, Jesus, dude. See, that's how much I know.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, but I don't know off the top of my head. When it comes to some of those minor spots. Oh wait, Eureka put it in his hand for it. 12 season Tampa Bay Lightning, 24 assistant general manager, director of player development, was promoted on May 6th. So I believe, he's no longer with the team. Okay. I don't know where he is now, but no longer with the team. He's with the Lightning with a long time. How do we not know him, Matt? Over 12 seasons. And worked with the Crunch as well.
We're just nerds at the end of the day, Jake. We're not full-on analysts, so that's the caveat I'll give myself.
Producer Eureka says nobody has picked him up yet. Well, I'm sure that's kind of surprising for a guy that's been that long in an organization like this. Not to – Eureka said maybe an e-bug. because he never probably played an NHL game, so technically I think that would be legal. There you go.
Definitely not a goalie, though.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Mr. Magic here, quick comment. Give us your lineup predictions, opening night guys you would like to see make the roster. All right, yeah, we'll have some fun with that real quick. So one thing JBB did talk about in a recent press conference is he mentioned Jack Finley's name and said that he's the guy that the Lightning are kind of keeping an eye out that could make an impact right out of training camp. And I would be excited to see him actually get a run here. He's played in one game with the Tampa Bay Lightning and was a plus one in that game. So you have that. And he's been doing pretty solid down in the AHL. Last year with the Crunch, 40 games, 14 goals, 14 assists for 28 points and was a plus 11. So he's definitely a guy that can make an impact. Basically, the way I see it, Matt, we'll see if you agree with me here, is I think the Lightning lineup is pretty set. Of course, you got your top six, Gensel, Point, Kucherov, Hagel, Cirelli, Bjorkstrand, and then Gord, Paul, and Gonsalves. I think those guys are obviously all locked in. Those are your main guys. They're not going anywhere. And then you have the fourth line, basically, on offense where you can have some changes. Gergensen's and Geeky are more than likely going to be in the lineup, I would assume. And then it's really that last spot, at least at the forward core, when it comes to who it could be. There's Holmberg. There's Finley. If he does well at a training camp, I wouldn't mind seeing that. And then there's the guy that they signed from Philadelphia, the former first-round pick.
Jacob Peltier.
Peltier, yes. Those are the three I kind of look at that could be potential guys in the lineup on opening night. I don't know who it's going to be. I think if I had to pick somebody, probably Finley.
See, I'm still a Mitchell Chafee truther, and I'm pretty sure he's still with the team. Yeah, I don't know why.
He's in his last year of his contract.
Yeah, I don't know why he, you know, fell so far out of grace with the coaching staff. Again, I've always liked his game. Mike's always liked his game, but for whatever reason, he just couldn't crack the lineup. It wasn't Connor Sherry level, but I thought for the fourth line, I think Chafee is a good slot. I don't see Jacob Peltier really being a fourth line kind of guy. Like, you know, he's a high skill kind of guy, you know, maybe like, you know, in the same level as like Alex Barre-Boulet, and I don't want to put that omen on him, but that's not the kind of guy that you play in the bottom six. He's not a checker or anything. Like, he's a goal scorer, a playmaker. So I don't see Peltier being that, you know, missing piece on the fourth line. I still think that might be Chafee's spot to lose. I think he's higher up in the pecking order than Finley maybe, but there will be injuries. You know, Finley, you know, we don't really know what his game is quite yet. So he might develop into, you know, just a fourth line, third line checking kind of guy. Everything's still TBD. So
a lot of this depends on training camp, right? If a guy comes out and dominates in training camp, they're going to get a spot on the opening night roster. I think that's the one area that's open. Although you bring up a good point, Matt, with Chafee, because it's not like Chafee was having a bad year. I mean, he played extremely well with the Lightning. It just makes you wonder if they think of it. He didn't get moved, and we thought he could get moved at the trade deadline this last season. And if he's not in the lineup, why didn't you move him? Maybe they will move him this year. I don't know. There's a lot of question marks. You are right about the injuries too. Now, something else JBB did say, I remember specifically at the end of free agency or before free agencies, he said, well, it's funny because he says we have a lot more cap space, which is kind of nice for us. We don't normally have that. We really don't have to. We have like a million. That a million is a lot of cap space to work with. Now, granted, they have a little more before they sign some of those free agents. And he did mention about carrying more players. So maybe the Lightning take a little bit of a different approach this year in carrying more guys at the NHL level and really mixing up that bottom lineup. So maybe there's something there that they kind of just have this rotating cast, which I'm usually not as big of a fan of. I like having a solid guy in the lineup, but that's also a possibility.
If you're top six and you're top six forwards and top four D-man, and of course, you know, your all-star goalie are good enough to get you into the playoff picture, you know, the first three quarters of the regular season is a bit of a proving ground. Like, you know, it's not, you know, you're not going into game one of the playoffs with the same lineup that you had, you know, game one of the regular season. Like, even though it's the regular season, it's not preseason, it's still a bit of an opportunity to try new guys out. Like, it's a very, very long season, and it will be getting longer too by two games, not this coming year, but next year. So there is time to mix and match. There is time for guys to get injured and, you know, somebody maybe take their spot and, you know, show us something good. Like Gage Gonsalves, I didn't have being, you know, a permanent player looking back, you know, at the start of last year. I did not expect him to be in this role, but Connor Sherry was underperforming and Gonsalves and Geeky was underperforming at a point too, and Gonsalves came in and won himself a spot. So there is always the opportunity. Like, it's not going to be a perfectly healthy season. Not everyone's going to be, you know, putting up the numbers or playing the way that they should be. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for Finley or Peltier or whoever else it might be to come and take a spot. And that's the best thing. That's the best thing. Like, for fringe guys, for good AHLers and fringe NHLers, like, it is the best thing to be fighting for this spot. You're playing for a job. So again, you don't want any injuries to happen, but it could also, you know, bring light to a better, more suiting, better fitting player.
you don't want them to happen, but they're going to happen. They're a part of the game. It's just there's injuries in sports. There's no way around it. So, yeah, Matt, I'm right there with you. Beverly also agrees with you, by the way, saying he's only $800,000 cap hit, so why isn't he playing? A lot of guys will be out for Olympics, so Syracuse guys will have opportunities. Yes, it's very true. Could run into some injuries from the Olympics as well, so we'll see how that all plays out. And, again, a lot of that's going to come when we get to training camp in the preseason and seeing who really steps up and who can take that roster spot. Comment here from Mr. Magic again saying, how confident are we stacking our lineup to Florida's? I'm glad you brought this up, actually, because one of the things JB – and he says this every year. And obviously he's going to say this, but he's basically said that he loved our team last year, thinks that we're really good, and he likes a lot of the potential in guys that we signed and thinks that he made the roster better, which why is GM going to come out and say, yeah, we really didn't do anything. We didn't make our roster better. You're not going to say that. But in comparison to Florida's, to be honest with you, on paper, I think Florida clearly has the better line. I mean, they just won the Stanley Cup. So,
yeah.
And, you know, last year I think the Lightning could beat the Panthers. That's what I thought last year. I thought they just didn't play good. I thought they played some of their worst hockey in that first round of the playoffs. They weren't themselves at all. Now, what was that actual issue? That's a whole other debate and a whole other topic. But and with the changes that they made this year, I don't know how different this team is. Now, we do have a new coach when it comes to the defensive side of things. Is that going to make a big difference? It very well could. We saw how much of an impact it made in that first year. So I think the Lightning on paper are not as good as they used to be, no question. I don't think they're as good as Florida, but I do believe that they have the talent and the ability to beat teams like Florida. They just didn't play the way they should have in that first round.
Yeah, it's also hard to win games when, you know, a guy that should have been suspended or should have been kicked out from a game, you know, scores the game tying goal. You know, it's kind of hard to win games when, you know, the Secretary General of the NHL, you know, has his son on the Florida Panthers front office.
I didn't mean to bring up a sore subject for you, Matt.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, you know, objectively. The Panthers are better. They have had our number the last two seasons. They have had the cup the last two seasons. Like, objective. I'm just saying there's it could have been a bit of a longer series, probably the same outcome. I wish it would have been called a little more fairly. But, yes, it's going to be very hard to put these two teams together and see a bit of a different outcome, even with my saltiness and biasness. Like, it's going to be hard for the Lightning to overcome the Panthers. What I'm hoping for is that somebody else in the Atlantic or the East, you know, maybe the Hurricanes, maybe the Leafs or something, just puts a stop to this dynasty real quick. And then maybe next year when we get Connor McDavid, we can turn the tides again. So,
which if you missed it, by the way, and if you missed it, why are you not liking, subscribing, ring that bell for notifications so you don't miss out on those episodes? We talked about how Connor McDavid is a very real possibility Lightning could try and grab him next offseason because they're going to have a lot more cap space. We had a little bit of fun with that one, me and Matt. But, Matt, I'm going to disagree with you on that, though. I want to beat him. Let us stop him. I can't stand those guys. I want to be the team that shows their real true dominance in Florida right away.
I completely agree. I just don't see a pathway how, other than, you know, nothing short of a miracle. Again, it's hockey. Anything and everything crazy does happen. But again, just strictly looking on paper, you know, these are, you know, it's like looking at the Lightning, you know, 5 years ago. People used to say the same, if not worse, things about the Lightning, you know, when they come into town. You're like, oh God, why do I even buy a ticket to this game? Why should I even watch this game? It's going to be a beating. Like, they, you know, it was other fans of other teams were saying worse things like that. Like, yes, the Panthers, big, bad, and scary, back-to-back champs, three-time finalists. Like, they're in the same echelon, unfortunately, right now. Still one cup short, two Conn Smythes short, but still. I'll always have that extra Conn Smythe over them. That's always good. But it will be a Herculean task, unless they just have a fall-off.
We just need Kucherov to not win the Art Ross Trophy.
Yes, finish second.
Finish second. For whatever reason, whenever he does that, he can't do anything in the playoffs, and that was part of the problem last year. So if he doesn't do that, maybe we got a shot again this year.
Yeah, finish 1 point behind McDavid and, you know, 5 points ahead of McKinnon. Just be second, and, you know, we might win another cup or something.
Yeah, that's one can hope. One can hope he wins it again and then actually dominates in the playoffs like you would expect him to. But we can't wish for too much. Beverly said, I think our guys are getting a little tired of losing to Florida, so hopefully that we'll have a big win like in 2029 after the 2019 loss. I don't think this is quite the same as the 2019 situation, but yeah, I definitely think they are sick of it. Listen, nobody wants to lose to their rival that much like that, so would love to see them bounce back in a big year like they did in 2019.
Or it could turn into a LA Kings Edmonton situation where it's four straight years.
Wait, say that again?
It could turn into an LA Kings Edmonton situation where, you know, Edmonton beats the Kings four straight years.
Where we do it?
No, where they do it. They're the ones that are up 2-0 on us over the last 2 years.
How about now?
I'd prefer no.
Let's get that negativity out of here.
Sorry. It's been a long day, Jake. It's been hot.
4-0 sweep for us. How about that?
I'll take it.
Better. Hey, listen, here's the good news, though. Because the Lightning dominated that rivalry for so long, I feel like at least it's a fun competitive one now. And it's two big – like that's a premier matchup in the NHL, two Florida teams, and really continuing to prove that hockey belongs in the southern states. So that – I will always be happy about, and that it's big. I always want to beat them, but I am glad that it is. It actually means a lot more this series. I remember when the Lightning and the Panthers did. Do you remember the Florida Cup that the Lightning and Panthers did between themselves? Do you remember that, Matt? The
Florida Cup? No.
Yeah, there was like I forget what they called it exactly, but there was a year or two where they had a competition between the Lightning and Panthers, and whoever won the series. Won like this little trophy. I don't know if it was an actual trophy, but they had a little like competition between them two. And the 2 years they did it, the Lightning dominated, and it wasn't even close. So I don't think they've done it ever since. Maybe now is a good time to bring it back because these two teams are both very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, you don't remember that at all? The little competition they had between.
I can't say I do. It would be fun. I still do think they did drop the ball a bit on not having both the Florida teams play in an outdoor game. I think that should have been the way to do it and then have, you know, your traditional, you know, other teams play. But if the two Florida teams could have played in the outdoor game, I think that would have been a huge draw. Maybe not a huge draw. I kind of understand, you know, have the northern teams come down. It's New York and Boston. But at the same time, me as a fan, I think the Florida teams should have played.
I do think it would have been fun, no question, Matt. But I think the NHL is just scared that they can't have a not original 16 in there for the ratings side of things. They've always we're lucky to even be getting these games in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, this wasn't even a thought. So I'll take what I can get. You know, it's
not kind of fair. Funny. All right.
So you know, we'll take a look. Another comment here from Mr. Magic. If we had a healthy lineup, we would have beat Florida, I think, last year. No, I don't think it was much of a health issue as, again, I just don't think guys played well. They just didn't play up to the Lightning standards that we saw from that season. So I don't think it was more of a health issue. I think it was more than you play good.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to call the Panthers a team of destiny, but you saw how easily they disposed of pretty much every other team. I mean, hell, Toronto gave them the hardest fight. Even that one ended with a whimper in Game 7 for Toronto. Like, and Toronto was, you know, objectively a better team than the Lightning were last year. You know, they finished higher in the standings. They finished, you know, deeper in the playoffs. And I hate to say that, but again, there wasn't anybody stopping them. You know, Edmonton didn't look as good. Carolina went out with, you know, an even bigger whimper than the Lightning did in five games, you know, both five game series for once for Carolina in the conference finals, at least. But still, like, there's a number of factors, but again, this is, yeah, a number of factors. It's not just health, it's, you know, officiating, of course, health. You know, getting shut down, you know, the top line getting shut down. Like, Jake Gensel was pretty good, but Point was invisible. Kucherov was invisible. Hedman wasn't himself. The defense and Jeff Blashill, that whole thing was not exactly helping our helping us with that relentless Florida forecheck. So there's plenty of factors that played into the loss, not just solely health.
Matt, I do want to get a couple of things on from the Lightning social media team. We kind of touched on it a little bit last week. By the way, the Lightning have changed their profile picture back to their traditional just blue and Lightning logo. They've always had a fun, different style of profile pictures. By the way, say no, we're in the middle of the offseason. I'm talking about Lightning profile pictures right now. But I'm excited to see what they come up with when it comes to graphics. I always thought the Lightning have had some really clean, good-looking graphic styles. Always like what they've been able to do on there. By the way, Matt, do you know who Jin is?
I learned about him before the show.
So I don't know if anybody saw on social media, Lightning quote tweeted Amway Arena, and Jin was at Amway Arena doing a performance. I had no idea who it is. And I was very intrigued because this post the Lightning did has over 11,000 likes on it. That's a lot. If you look at the last 100 posts from the Lightning, I don't think any of them beat that much. Like 11,000 likes is crazy. We learned, Matt, as you said before the show, he was a member of BTS and he was in Tampa Bay. So a lot of people got a kick out of that. If you go look at that, the post Lightning made, you should see the comments. It's just all major BTS fans talking about him. It's actually kind of crazy, but 11,000 likes. I did not realize he was that. I knew BTS was popular, but crazy.
Yeah, I know BTS is one of the biggest artists, you know, outside the U.S. and shoot, even still in the U.S. Again, we were saying they're the Beatles of K-pop. It seems, you know, they're the biggest thing in, you know, in South Korea right now, or just all of Asia, you know, spreading over to the Western world. Still, I don't know who Jin is, but I'm glad that there's some engagement, you know, some sort of a not partnership, but just something with the Lightning there. I don't know if you saw a couple weeks ago too. I think it was Pat Maroon. Oh, did he? Yeah. I love when artists do that, even if it is just, hey, put this on. But it was like Pat Maroon, Anthony Cirelli, a couple of the other guys. They were at a Dierks Bentley concert and came up on the stage and started crushing some beers with Dierks Bentley. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah, that's some good. That's good right there. I love that Pat Maroon still just sticks around with, you know, the Lightning guys. He's a bit of everywhere, but he still loves his Bolts guys.
He's a true Florida man. This absolutely is where he belongs. There's no question about that. By the way, we have to wish a belated happy birthday to Andre Vasilevskiy.
Oh, yeah.
He had his birthday, so happy birthday to him. 31 years old is Andre Vasilevskiy and still the best goaltender in the NHL. You can argue a wall about that one.
Why would he argue himself?
Oh, okay. God, well played, Matt. No, that was good. I love it. But yeah, you know, it's happy birthday to Andre Vasilevskiy. Excited to see what he can do. And I don't think there's any slowing him down right now. By the way, Matt, you know what's a great birthday present if you're looking for one?
Oh, do tell.
If you head over to shop.rblrsports.com and check out the awesome Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdies, Teams Bar merch that we got over there for you guys. And the best part is you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. So be sure to go check it out. We got some awesome, amazing stuff over there. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBLR Sports. Links, as always, are in the description. So be sure to go check that out. Again, a lot of other great podcasts on the RBLR side of things. Rays, Bucks, Rowdy's, Sun, all the great fun stuff that's going on right now, especially the Rays with them in full season form. And as we count down the days to getting back to the full Lightning season, of course, as we get closer, we'll have more and more to talk about as training camp kicks up. Don't worry, though. Make sure you like and subscribe. Ring that bell because we're going to have some more content coming your way. Even during the offseason, we'll take a look at maybe some player grades a little bit. Matt, I know you're really wanting to do a trivia show. Yes, so we're gonna work on something and see what we can't do. But let us know if you guys would love to see that. And don't forget to drop your comments down below. Love to hear what you guys have to say. But that's gonna do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much to everybody tuning in. With that said, we'll see you in the next one. Go Bolt.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.